bring this message from God's Word. We have a responsibility, a civic responsibility. Hopefully it will be civil, but a civic responsibility on Tuesday to vote for the direction of our nation, for future leaders of this country. And we should exercise that responsibility. I hope that everyone will plan on doing so. Some have voted early, but I hope that everyone will cast their vote for the person that they feel will best lead this country and help us, hopefully, to come back closer to God as a nation. I find it discouraging and concerning that people will not consider their religion and their personal views when they consider their political views as well. It's disheartening sometimes. I was with an elder and his wife in Chicago several years ago. We were staying there with them, and we discussed a number of things, and among those things were politics. And one thing that they stated to me was, we do not allow our politics to affect our religion, nor our religion to affect our politics. And I said, folks, you can't do that. You can't live like that. You don't compartmentalize Christianity for Sunday and then politics the rest of the week. It doesn't work like that. We have to stand for what's right all the time. All the time. So we are at a crossroads in our nation. We have, for president, we have two candidates that are, wow, I don't know what to say about them. I can't say anything kind, so my mama told me, shut up. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say we got to pray that God helps us, and that's what we're doing tonight. That's the whole idea of this prayer service tonight, is that God will help us as a nation. Regardless of who is elected, that God will spare us as a nation, that He will save us. Because we can't save ourselves, can we? We absolutely cannot. And so regardless of which candidate is our next president, as Henry was praying, we need to be concerned about the future of this nation. And judges over our Supreme Court are going to be appointed during this next term, that those judges will serve the rest of their life. And with the removal, this is my political view, with the removal of our Supreme Court justice that we had, the ending of his life, in whatever way it happened, it really created a vacuum, it created a problem. So we need to be praying about this very strongly. The Bible makes it very clear that prayer is a very important part of the Christian life. It's a significant part of a Christian's life. And the disciples watched Jesus pray. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, most of us cannot imagine what it would have been like to walk and to talk with Jesus physically while He was on this earth. As He went about doing good, as He went about across Galilee and into Samaria and throughout Judea, the disciples were with Him and they saw the incredible miracles that He did. How He could touch the sick and make them whole. Or He could simply speak to someone who had an illness and they'd be made well. How He could raise the dead. How He could calm the sea. How He could feed the thousands. And then they were mesmerized by His teaching, by what He taught them. And then the explanations He would give to them after His teachings. It had to be an amazing thing. And I can imagine all kinds of questions that would come to their mind. But the thing I want you to notice is when they saw Jesus perform miracles, they didn't say, Lord, teach us to perform miracles or to teach us to teach like You teach. They didn't say that. When they heard Him pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is the greatest tool, the greatest blessing, the greatest power that the Christian has at his disposal. prayer. Prayer. Our God is moving in this world, and we don't know what God does. His ways are past finding out. They're not our ways. So we don't know what God is doing. Did the red lights all turn green for you just right as you were trying to get your loved one to the hospital? Or did that red light stop you from getting in a wreck? That another car was going to come through and barrel through and hit you if that light had been green for you? Did God heal your loved one? Or did He allow natural causes, natural laws of physics and biology and chemistry to work, the natural laws of this universe to work to bring about the healing of your loved one? Did you get that job because God blessed you and answered your prayer? You said, "Lord, please let me get this job." And you got that job. Did you get it because God gave it to you, or would you have gotten it anyway? We don't know. And I'm going to get personal again. It bothers me when I hear someone say, "I know it was God that gave me that job." It bothers me when I hear somebody make that kind of statement. Now, y'all know J. Paul. Y'all remember J. Paul, my good buddy from India. J. Paul has an attitude about prayer to God that when you ask God for something, God has to do it. Lord, you just have to do it. Now, there are some who have an attitude, "Lord, you just have to do it because there's no one else but you. No one can do this but you. And if it's going to be done, you're the one that's going to have to do it." And if that's what they mean, I have no problem with that. But to tell God what God has to do, you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't order God around, okay? You can order a puppy to sit, but you don't order God to give you what you ask for. It doesn't work like that. So we're going to talk about prayer this morning. And the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I want to quickly look at what Jesus did right then. And then we're going to draw some conclusions. I'm going to make some observations, and then we're going to go eat lunch. All right? That's just the way it works today. But I want you to notice that Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer. He gives us a pattern, and it starts with praise. When you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Praise to God. Telling God how wonderful He is, how wonderful you see Him to be. That's what praise is. Now, does God need our praise? Does God need anything from me or you? Does He need it? No. But God is glorified when we praise Him. And it's good for us. Listen carefully. It's good for us to praise the Lord. Now, we hear that term all the time. We hear folks say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even know what they mean. We don't praise the Lord enough. We need to tell God how wonderful He is. We need to tell God of the things that He has done for us. We need to enumerate these things. We need to list these things. We need to express to God our gratitude and look at all His awesome power, His creative and sustaining power in this world. We need to express praise to God because it's good for us. It reminds us who's in charge. It reminds us that we are not self-made men and women, that we are made by the loving hand of God, that our lives are sustained by the loving hand of God. And so when we praise God, it reminds us to humble ourselves before the Almighty God of heaven and earth. Praise God. Then he says, he shows them to pray for physical and spiritual needs. Give us this day our daily bread. There's the physical need. This is not limited to food, but it's also food, clothing, shelter. It is relationships. It is security and a sense of belonging. It's every aspect of the physical life. This is an outline for prayer. It is not meant to stand as a single prayer that we are supposed to pray. I know many people memorize this prayer, and they pray this prayer. In times of crisis, they will pray this prayer as though it's some sort of a magical charm to protect them from harm. Folks, it doesn't work like that. This is an outline for prayer. It's a pattern for prayer that Jesus is giving us. And we, as I heard one fellow say, put meat on the bones. That's how you pray all night. You can't just pray this prayer over and over and over all night and say you prayed all night. That's kind of silly. But when a person is going to pray to God and they pray with their heart and they pour out their heart to God over the things that mean so much to them, the struggles that they're facing, the challenges, the decisions that they have to make, what the future is going to hold, what we need to do, which way we need to go, and we're not sure of these things. Jesus is giving us a pattern for praying, whether it be all night, half a day, 5 minutes, or a 3 or 4 day marathon prayer. Jesus is giving us a pattern. He says, pray for physical needs and pray for spiritual needs. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This is New King James. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us is the most common way that phrase is used. We need forgiveness, but we also need to forgive. And this covers, this is not just about forgiveness. This is about every aspect of the human relationship. As we deal with other people, we're to deal with them spiritually. We're to be concerned about the spiritual aspects, not simply the physical. Oh, how are you? I'm fine. Social, graces, and all of that. That is more than that. We're supposed to deal with people on a spiritual level. As we try to have daily food to feed our bodies, we need daily food to feed our souls. But we also need to influence for good those around us. We need to be involved in their lives, not butting in, not trying to control or manipulate people. That's not what we're about. That's not what Christianity is. It's simply trying to help people have a closer walk with God. Our whole point in trying to bring about evangelism is to try to help men and women find Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not to try to make people like me or like you. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people become like Jesus, as we ourselves are trying to become more and more like Jesus. Do we fail? Miserably. Miserably. But we keep trying. We keep trying to live it. We keep trying to share it. We keep on trying. Well, so Jesus is teaching us to praise Him. I've skipped one. The purpose of life. The purpose of life on this earth. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do you think we're here? Why do you think we're here? To grow old and retire and die? Is that why we're here? To raise our families and teach our children how to live in this world? If that's all you do, you're a lousy parent. Listen to me. You are a lousy parent. If all you do is teach your children how to live in this world, shame on you. Don't you know that you brought somebody into this world that's going to live forever? Your job is to teach them how to get to heaven. Not just how to live in this world, but how to live forever. How to live forever. So, young parents, and I'm looking out and seeing these beautiful children, these beautiful babies. Your job, help them learn how to make a living, but help them learn how to live. Help them learn how to get to heaven. Help them learn how to live forever. How to live forever. That's what our job is. And so our purpose, but let me tell you this too. Thy kingdom come. Now has the kingdom come? Yes. It came with power on the day of Pentecost. When Jesus went back to heaven and then some 40 days later, He sent the Holy Spirit. No, some 10 days later, I'm sorry. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the apostles were filled with the knowledge of God. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other languages were being spoken. Every man heard in his own language in which he was born. That day the kingdom came with power. Power the earth had never seen before. The kingdom has come. So what do we mean when we pray this prayer? thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom has come, but the kingdom has not come to all. Not everyone knows who Jesus is. Not everyone knows what to do to be saved. Not everyone knows how to share, how to get to heaven. And so when we talk about this, we can literally pray, your kingdom grow. Your kingdom rule the earth. What is the kingdom of God? It is those people over whom God rules. And so thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a continuation statement that the kingdom continued to spread to every corner of the world. That more and more know who God is. Yes, the kingdom has come, but His will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to continue to pray for that to be done and continue to serve and live so that that can be done. Then we talked about the physical needs, the spiritual needs, and then finally, protection. In verse 4, Jesus says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." There is a force in this world. We wonder why people do what they do. We wonder how someone could hurt a child. We wonder how people could be so cruel and unkind. How a man could beat another man with a baseball bat. We wonder how a person could torture someone. We wonder how an individual could take from an older person, like so many of these internet scams are going on today, and stealing the retirement, stealing the meager living that so many of our senior citizens are trying to survive on, and yet some scam artists will come online and try to convince them and fleece them, take the money that they have. Why would people be so cruel and so selfish and so uncaring? Because there's a force in this world, there's a power in this world that's working to overturn God, that's working to try to destroy God, to undermine God, and to destroy God's people. And we live in a nation of freedom right now. But our freedoms are being eroded. And it's by people on both sides of the aisle. Our freedoms are being taken away by ungodly judges who are making rules, who are passing down rules upon people doing the job that the legislature is supposed to be doing. Now I'm getting political, I'm sorry. But doing a job the legislature is supposed to be doing and making law. I'll never forget sitting in a courtroom one day and heard the judge in his opening remarks say, "Let's make some good law today." Oh, what a terrible misunderstanding about how our government works. The judicial system is designed to enforce law, to make sure law is carried out, not to make law. But we have judges that do that sort of thing. And that's how prayer was taken out of school, because judges made law. That's how abortion became the rule of the land, because judges made law. Roe versus Wade was not done in the legislative assembly. No, it was done by judges. So yes, we have a problem. And there's a power at work in this world that is trying to destroy this nation and trying to destroy Christianity and trying to destroy you. And we need to be aware of that. Satan is at work. And so Jesus teaches His disciples, and He teaches us to pray that God would deliver us from the evil one. For He is at work. Now, last Wednesday night, Stan Hogan dealt with a prayer. Or in the subject about the parables of Jesus, he dealt with a parable about prayer. In verses 5 through 9 of this same chapter, the same context that was read this morning from Luke 11, verses 5 through 9, the unjust judge. He didn't care about man or God. And yet this widow comes to him. No, that's a different parable. I'm sorry. The friend in need. I'm getting confused with my judges here. The friend in need. He comes to Jesus, or he comes to his friend at night. The friend is in the bed, The house is locked down, and he says, look, I've had a guest come in unexpectedly. I need some bread. Man, I'm in bed with my children. I can't get up and give you bread. Well, he won't do it because the guy is simply his friend, but because of his persistence, because the man continues to knock and say, look, you got to help me. I don't have anybody else to go to. It's you or nothing. I can't not feed my guest. Please, please help me. He'll get up, and he'll give him the bread. Because you don't want the whole house woken up. You don't want to disturb it. So you just get up and, okay, fine, fine. He'll do it because of the man's persistency, not just because he's his friend. And then the Lord made it clear, do you not suppose that God will do even more for you? Don't you suppose? Don't you understand that you need to keep praying? You need to pray persistently. You don't need to give up. Now, Paul asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn in the flesh, and God told him three times no. And Paul finally got it in his head, okay, I see it now. My grace is sufficient for you. God is saying that I don't have to have this thorn removed. But the point that we get from this is we continue to pray for something until we get an answer from God, until we are able to be satisfied in our minds that either God is going to give it to me or He's not, or else God's going to give me something better. And sometimes God doesn't take away the problem. He gives us the means to deal with the problem. Okay? Sometimes that's what He does. He gives us a way to deal with the problem instead of taking it away. Now, and then there's a promise for prayer. In verses 10 through 13 of this passage, there's a promise for prayer. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, and that word evil would be comparable to Jacob, or have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Obviously God didn't hate Esau, but the way that biblical word is used is that God loved Jacob more and loved Esau less. And it was a degree comparison. Well, it's the same thing here. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So we have a promise regarding prayer that God will bless us in our prayers. And we ask, we seek, we knock, and we will find. We will have. It will be open to us. God will give us what we need. Now, there is a passage. There is a passage that I want to bring to your mind right now regarding what God will do. It's found in Romans 8, verse 26 through 30, regarding what Jesus said here in Luke 11. That God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Watch this. In Romans 8, 26 through 30. And you know this passage, but watch this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But watch. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Things we cannot understand or comprehend. Now He who searches the hearts, God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're praying about. He knows what's important to you. He knows if you have faith or not. He knows if you mean it or not. Now He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. The good, I've said this before, the good that God will do in your life is to help you become like Jesus. That's what it's for. That's how God works these things out. And so bad things will happen, but God will use it for good to help you become more like Jesus. To help you be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What is this passage saying? Well, some would use this to suggest that there are certain individuals that God said, yeah, I'm going to save you. And others God says, yeah, but you're not going to make it. And that's not what he's saying at all. God has predetermined how he will save man. And he has predetermined the kind of people that will be saved are those who will believe in him and submit to him. And then when God puts it together, it's done. But do you know what God's plan is? Do you know how God is working in your life? Do you know how God is working these things out? You better shake your head this way because you don't have a clue. You don't have any idea. Neither do I. That's why we have to have faith in God. It's impossible for us to please God unless we believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We can't possibly please God if we don't first believe that. And so when Jesus says, ask and it will be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, whatever you ask for in my name, believing that you will receive. If you ask for something in his name, it's according to his will. It's by his authority. And if you ask for something and you pray that God's will be done, when you ask for something, God's will must be done. It must be done. That's the only thing that's going to help. Now, you could pray for a particular political candidate to be elected. And Alabama could pray that they beat LSU. Auburn could pray that they beat... Who was that? Yeah. Vanderbilt. I'm not messing with that. I just couldn't remember. Honestly, I couldn't. Eckerd says, yeah, right. No, really, I couldn't. But you know, God is not going to get involved in a football game like that. Where God might get involved is to protect some players and protect fans, protect people as they're coming and going to the park, protect participants as they play. But God doesn't care about how a game comes out unless it has something to do with his will. See, if a particular game came out at a certain way and it was a way that was going to bring glory to God, if it was part of his will, then so be it. And the same is true with a government. The same is true with elected officials. If a particular elected official is the one that God wants, guess what? That's the one that's going to win. That's the one that's going to win. If a particular judge is one that God wants to be appointed, guess what? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. But we don't know what God wants in these particulars, do we, folks? The Bible does not tell us enough to know what God wants in any particular manner. And sometimes God raises up evil governments to punish his people for their sins. We must do right. We must be people who pray and who believe in God and who seek to do his will. A couple of thoughts I want to make and then I'll draw a conclusion and we'll be done. Prayer is not a blank check. Prayer is not a Christmas list. Prayer is not a bucket list. Prayer is not the kind of thing where you because of what Jesus said, it looks like anything you ask for, you'll get. It doesn't work like that. And you know it. And any reasonable-minded person knows it. The way God works in prayer is he will say yes, he will say no, he will say wait a while, he will say let me give you something better. That's how God answers a prayer. And we can fully know that God hears and answers every prayer prayed by one of his faithful people. You can know that for a fact, but you don't know how God's going to answer it. You don't know what God is going to do, but you know he's going to do it. There's another point I want to make, and that is that prayer is an incredible power because it gets God involved. Now, there are times when God may sit back and allow certain things to happen, and there are times when God will get involved. And you can be assured of this. If his people pray about something, God will get involved. He will be involved. Prayer brings God into the equation. Now, there are times when God's going to act anyway. Like I said, you may have got that job because you prayed. You may have got that job because someone else prayed, and it wasn't even you. I'm thinking of the four friends that let down that friend of theirs on the bed. It talks about the faith of the friends. Nothing is said about the faith of the man laying on the bed. And because of their faith, they brought him to Jesus, and he was made whole. So there are blessings that come to you because someone else prayed for you. Because someone else prayed for you. See, we don't know how God is working in this, but we do know that He is working. We know that God is working. And so we need to pray. We need to pray with all we have. If you're angry with someone, don't talk about them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Then talk to them. That's God's way. But the best way I know to deal with anger that you feel for another person is to pray for them. It's funny how that just sapes the anger away. Do you think I've ever been angry at anybody? Ever? In my whole life? I mean, I know I'm not the kind of person that you'd think of would ever get angry, right? That's just not, The thing that I can tell you from my own personal experience is it deflates the anger. When I pray for someone, if I'm angry at them and I pray for them, the anger just kind of escapes like air out of a flat tire. Just, it's gone. The anger just disappears when you pray for somebody. So pray for them. And then if you're concerned about someone, pray for them. If you're worried that this person is not a Christian yet, pray for them. And then after you've prayed for them, do what you can to encourage them to get right with God. But pray for them. Tonight, we're praying for our nation. Pray for this country. And don't just stop after Tuesday night. Keep praying for this country. Pray for this nation. And pray for the free spread of the gospel. Do you know what my prayer is for America? I want America to continue to be the greatest nation on earth. I know I have selfish reasons. I want my children and my grandchildren to be safe. I want my great-grandchildren to be able to live in freedom and safety, freedom to worship God the way God directs, without fear that someone in the government or some conspiratorial force may descend upon them and put their lives in jeopardy. I pray for that. So I have selfish reasons. But I also know that God uses the church in America to help fund the spread of the gospel throughout the world. We are blessed financially. By and large, we are the richest nation on earth across the board. There are others who may have a higher standard of living than many of our people in this country do. But the reality is the Lord's church in the United States is the primary funding of all evangelistic work for the world. Did you know that? The primary funding. And if America falls, what will happen with the spread of the gospel? What will happen with people being able to go into other places in the world and preach God's word? What will happen with that? So I have a selfish reason for my family, but I also have a selfish concern for the spread of the gospel to the world. And so I pray for this country to survive and to thrive and to prosper financially, socially, emotionally, but above all, spiritually. That we may be the great nation that we at one time were. And I pray that one day and soon, there will be a spiritual awakening in America that will help so many millions of people come to God that right now are not anywhere near God. And so we pray for this nation. I want to encourage you to plan to be here tonight. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. Men, any of the men of the congregation, if you want to be a part of this program tonight. If you want to have either prayer, I've got 3 sections of scriptures to be read and 12 slots for prayers to be said. And so I would encourage you to please, without delay, sign up that sheet today. As soon as we're dismissed, sign up on that sheet so that we can plan this and we can make sure we are praying about the things we need to pray about. So I encourage you to be back and participate in that tonight. Well, that's the lesson this morning. I want to encourage you, don't allow yourself to become weary as you pray for things. Pray for people, pray for this nation, pray for the church, pray for the spread of the gospel, pray for our sick, pray for unity, pray for evangelistic effort and outreach throughout our community. But just remember, Jesus is showing us how to pray to encourage us to pray. And when it seems like the answers are slow to come, remember this passage from Luke 11 and you be persistent in your prayer. Jesus knew that we would feel this way at times, that we would question, is prayer doing any good at all? Does it really matter when I pray? But we can find security in the fact that God hears and answers every single prayer prayed by one of His faithful children. You can know that to be true, and I want to encourage you to keep praying. So if you were described